From the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Rev them up. Welcome in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. How you doing? Chase McCabe hanging out with you. Another race weekend. Two races of the new rules package in the books. Three races, of course, off the schedule already. Hard to believe that. We're going into race number four this weekend at Phoenix. But excited to kind of break it all down. Now that I have seen two races, well, everybody has seen two races with this new rules package, but I've been lucky enough to be at the last two. I was at Atlanta and then also at Las Vegas last weekend. And the thing that was interesting to me about Las Vegas, because that was the one that everybody circled, that, okay, I think we're really going to learn a lot about it with racing at Las Vegas. And, you know, I thought the racing was pretty good. You saw some lead changes. You kind of had, with the stages, almost like, all right, there was a feeling out process in stage one, and then the race really picked up in stages two and three. But it was caution free, which was kind of weird. Wasn't really expecting that. But you look at the race at the end between Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, I mean, it was exciting. It was entertaining. And I think that that's what NASCAR is looking for. So probably some work to do, but I don't think anyone really expected this to take off right away, and we have all the answers. I don't think anyone expected that at all. It's going to take a little time. But you'll hear from Steve O'Donnell, of course, who is executive vice president of NASCAR and deals with all this and competition and things like that. So we'll hear from him. But first, let's get into the drivers and where they finished. Kyle Busch basically dominated the weekend, winning the truck race, winning the Xfinity race. He was looking pretty good for the Cup race going into it, and a pit road speeding penalty got him, and he just was never really a factor because Joey Logano, of course, ends up winning. Here's Kyle Busch, frustrated after the race.
And I certainly screwed up our day, you know, coming to pit road there. We tried a different brake package for us this weekend, and trying to make up time in order to get a bigger jump on the guys behind me coming to pit road there just ruined it for us, and we had to come from the back. And I think we passed the most cars today, so I think we were the most impressive today, but that doesn't matter because we don't have a trophy. So whatever, next week.
Kyle Busch frustrated there in the post-race interview. You know, he was the favorite. I mean, he was the one that everybody was looking at to win this race. He's very good there. Again, had a dominant car, dominant weekend racing the trucks of the Xfinity Series, and mistakes just kind of get him. And you look at the past 2 weeks, Kyle Busch has had a really good car, one that probably could win. And I say the last 2 weeks, I mean the last 3 weeks, and something has happened. So that's just kind of how it is. He finished second at Daytona and then had issues at Atlanta, ended up finishing sixth, and speeding penalty gets him this past weekend, finishes third at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Look, he's going to win, and it's going to be very soon. So I know he wants to win every week. I like that about him. He's very competitive, but, you know, is what it is with Kyle Busch. And stuff happens, and ultimately Joey Logano had the best car at the end when it mattered, and he ends up winning the race. The second-place finisher, though, his teammate, Brad Keselowski, that won at Atlanta a week before the first race in this new rules package, was asked at the end about racing his teammate and said he might have been a little too nice.
If you had one more lap, though, would you have anything for Joey Logano?
I sure like to find out, Jamie, but you're right. This Discount Tire Ford Mustang was really strong, and thought it was a pretty good race. I passed Joey with the lap traffic there and caught a break there, and then lap traffic cost me the lead to Joey, and he pulled a good slide job, and I tried to pull it back, and I was just too nice to him. But it's all right. It was a really good day. Really happy for Team Penske and our team.
And you heard him mention the lap traffic. I do want to touch on that real fast. That the last 2 weeks, we have heard drivers complain about the lap traffic and that they don't get out of the way. And I think with the way the aero package is, you know, it's hard for them to get out of the way because you have the side draft and they're trying to hold their position and run their race as well, but they're blocking the leader. So I think that that's something NASCAR is probably going to end up looking into with the lapped cars and getting in the way, because there have been situations the last 2 weeks where they've cost some guys. I think Martin Truex Jr. probably would have caught Brad Keselowski at Atlanta had it not been for lap traffic. And then you heard Brad there saying that he felt like it might have cost him. But two teammates racing, and I think they have a lot of respect for each other. Brad won the week before. He wanted two in a row. A little too nice. He admitted it. I agree with it, because I think Brad probably had a better car. But again, that is racing. That's how it works sometimes. But I loved the racing between those two. It was a great battle watching them side by side and trade the lead. And I think that Team Penske has made a statement very early on in the season that, hey, you know what? It wasn't a fluke that Joey Logano won the championship. You look at those two drivers, and I'll even throw Ryan Blaney in this too. You look at those three, they had a very strong second half, or really final quarter of the season last year. We know what Brad Keselowski did to get into the playoffs. He won three in a row, and then, of course, Joey gets his win at an opportune time, qualifies for the championship race at Homestead, and he wins the thing, wins the championship. So Team Penske is basically saying, yeah, we know that Ford is dominant, but it's not just Stewart Haas Racing. You know, we're part of this too. We have something to say about it. And right now, in the early part of the season, I think you got to look at the Fords and you got to look at Penske Racing. Roger Penske in post-race, after winning two in a row in these last two races, was asked about his two guys, Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, racing maybe a little hard.
Well, you know, I've seen it all, you know, over the years, you know, with teammates racing each other. But, you know, on one side you worry a little bit, but on the other you say, boy, isn't that great, because we're competitive and we're racing for first in our cars. So, to me, you know, just knowing these are guys are professional, they've won races, they're teammates. But at the end of the day, the best man wins. I don't want one of them to knock him out, you follow me. But, you know, Brad could have got underneath him there maybe and won. So, to me, it was just a solid day, and you know, everything went for us. You know, our main sponsor was here, obviously, and you know, C Ford again, and the new Mustang. Let's give them a lot of credit, because back at Ford headquarters, you know, the work that they've done technically for us in combining the teams with Haas and the rest of the, you know, certainly the Ford teams, has made a big difference. You see them all running better, and I think that's a real credit to the whole organization. We are all working together.
It's interesting. They go from the Fusion, which was pretty dominant last year, to the Mustang, and there was that question, is it going to be like the Camaro with the Chevys? Is there going to be a fall-off? Well, they got two wins, hadn't been a fall-off, and they looked pretty good at Daytona also. So you got to tip your cap to Ford, as Roger Penske just did, and what they have done in research and development of getting the Mustang ready to go in the Cup Series, because there has not been a fall-off at all with that race car, and I think that is that's something to watch out for, because right now the Fords, they're kind of in a league of their own. It's very early in the season, so we'll see. Let's hear from the man that went to victory lane, Joey Logano, doing the interview with Mike Joy and the crew on Fox Sports.
It's tough to race anybody for the win that close, but when it's somebody you got to sit down with tomorrow morning at the team meeting... How's that?
It hurts more, believe me. But man, what a great car! You know, what a great weekend for Mustang to be able to get a win and some playoff points, the stage wins, and then Mustang also won down in Australia with McLaughlin. So, man, pretty proud of that. The effort that Ford's put into this, and also Team Penske. What a great race car. We got to figure our qualifying a little better, but the racing part, the cars are fast. We showed it last weekend, and we're able to show it again this weekend. So, couldn't be more proud of this team. Couldn't be proud of the, you know, everyone at Pennzoil that supports us, AAA, Money Lion, AutoZone, you know, Snap-on Tools. You know, Wheels Up and obviously Coke, Roush Yates Motors. This is a big motor thing now. You know, you're on the gas so much, you don't lift for the most part. You lift a little bit, but, you know, so that horsepower under the hood, it's a huge deal.
You know, Joe SDW, I know your car was handling really, really well, because you let go of the wheel coming off turn four and was pumping your fist in the air when you were coming to the start-finish line. That's got to be a pretty good driving car right there.
Yeah, I knew as long as I could clear Brad off the corner. I got so tight there the last few laps, and I was up against the wall. And the way the wall works, it just blows the car at different directions almost every time. And I was trying to figure out how far off the wall I needed to be to get my balance right. And I overdrove the entry and was pushing up into the wall, and I had to lift big. And I was like, oh, no, that was his chance to get under me. And I was able to carry enough momentum to get ahead of him. Once I knew that, I was like, yes,
yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Joey Logano in victory lane with Mike Joy, Darrell Waltrip of Fox Sports. Winning the race at Las Vegas, he talked about racing his teammate as we did with Roger Penske there. And I think, you know, the competition between those two is good. It made the racing was exciting. And the fact that there wasn't a caution was weird. And we'll hear from Executive Vice President Steve O'Donnell here in just a minute in our next segment about that. But if you have good side-by-side racing, you have lead changes, you don't need wrecks. Now, sure, if it's a short track, you want some door-to-door beating and banging. You don't want a clean race car. I get that. But on these mile-and-a-half tracks, if this is what you're going to get, it's not perfect, but it's a step in the right direction. They're getting there. I think they have a lot to build upon with the, as I said last week, with this rules package. And we saw it at Vegas, and we're going to see it again this weekend at Phoenix. But let's take a look before we get to Steve O'Donnell at how they finished at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Beautiful facility, by the way. The neon garage is really, really cool. So Joey Logano is your winner. Brad Keselowski comes in second. Kyle Busch third. Kevin Harvick, who was on the pole, was fourth. Kurt Busch comes home fifth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. sixth. Eric Almirola, 7th. Martin Truex Jr., 8th. Chase Elliott with a top 10. And Denny Hamlin rounds out the top 10. Lap leaders for the race. Of course, the race winner, Joey Logano, he led for 86 laps. 88 laps, which was the overall leader, was Kevin Harvick, who looked like he was in a position to win that race and then just kind of fell off there at the end. They got spread out after pit stops, and he just couldn't catch up to Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski. And then you had 23 laps led by Kurt Busch, 21 led by William Byron. Very good run by him. Didn't get the finish that he wanted, was 16th, but had a pretty good run going with some pit strategy with Chad Knaus. I think that those two might find their way to victory lane at some point this year. So I really like how the youngster has been doing in the first three races of the season. When we come back, we'll dive into the rules package a little bit more. You'll hear some clips from Executive Vice President Steve O'Donnell. I'll give you my thoughts. And a little later in the show, NASCAR returning to Nashville. Have you heard that on this show before? Yeah, I'll have more on it. That's coming up. It's Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are on the Game Nashville app on iTunes as well. Check out the Pod Center at thegamenashville.com. Got a lot of great things on there that you can listen to. All of our shows, our live shows, the Chase McCabe Show, Saturdays at 9, just to point that out. But a lot of great podcasts that you can check out. So here this week, we've had two races with the new rules package. We got Phoenix coming up. Steve O'Donnell, the executive vice president of NASCAR that handles this competition, handles all of this stuff. He has done a really good job with the media after these races of speaking about what he has seen. And we'll go ahead and introduce it with that, just a general view of what he saw racing-wise at Las Vegas.
Well, I would say if you look at the first stage, certainly saw almost two different races, kind of stage two, stage three. What we said from the beginning was we wanted to see the best car still win. We wanted the ability, and this is an actual fact story, but if you look up in turn two or turn three during a run, we wanted to see the leader and the ability for second or third at least to be in that shot and have the ability to pass. We saw that. You certainly saw the last stage, 100 lap, green flag run with no cautions, top four within 2.5 seconds. So directionally, I think better for sure, but not satisfied. We can, I'm a race fan first, and liked what I saw, but also think there's more to come, hopefully.
And I think that's a very honest assessment because I'm the same way. I'm a race fan. I like what I saw, but I could see some more.
You know, I think that you can, you have the right start because there is side-by-side racing. The cars are, even though they've reduced horsepower, I mean, they're speed. It's easy to get a run. You have different drivers that are leading the race, and I still think that the cream is rising to the top. So that's good. But then, you know, you've had a lot of people say the race from Vegas was boring and that, you know, there were no cautions. And I'm one of those people. I just want good racing. It doesn't always have to be a wreck. If you have good racing, good side-by-side racing, you'll take that. You'll take a caution-free outside of the stage breaks. He was asked about that, if he was surprised about it being generally a caution-free race outside of the stage breaks.
Yeah, I think you never forecast a caution-free race, right, other than the stages, and that's what you had. So you had cars sticking together for a longer period, you know, on a restart. And then what we really wanted on an intermediate track was if you had a long green flag run, the ability to make a pass during that stretch versus 1 second, two, three, four, almost what you saw on stage one versus the second and third. So I think it was good to see directionally, you know, the guys could come up through the pack and make a pass for the lead. But still work to do. It's early. You know, three different winners, three races. So we'll take this one and head to Phoenix. I was. You know, you go back even before the race, and I think even some of the media, and it probably came from the garage, right? We're going to wreck the entire field. This isn't going to be a race. Didn't happen. Some said NASCAR's goal is pack racing. Not the case. Our goal was to bring cars closer together, have more lead changes. But again, was surprised. I think if we had more green flag restarts, I think you probably would have seen one or two wrecks. But we'll see. You know, it's early again. And, you know, I'd rather err on the side of not wrecking cars and having some lead changes versus having that happen through accidents.
Well, and I got some news for you, Steve. It wasn't just the media saying that. The drivers were saying that too. The drivers were thinking, you know, it's pack racing. It's going to be like Daytona and Talladega. I heard Kurt Busch say it after Daytona. Like, hey, get used to this style of racing. That's what you're going to see. So it wasn't just the media throwing that out there. The drivers kind of had that impression too. And we did. I guess the truth of it all, we didn't know. I don't think anyone really knew what it was going to be. And we saw a little bit what we have seen at the mile and a half tracks over the last few years, where they would start out very close together. You'd have a little bit of a draft, not like the like you see at Daytona and Talladega, but there was a little bit of one, and then they would spread out. And you'd have cars getting lapped, and you would have kind of a lead pack that would pull away and drivers trading the lead back and forth. But I don't think you can really definitively say that we knew what we were going to get. There was a lot of speculation. So, again, I was surprised that it was caution-free, but I wasn't expecting everybody to wreck. You know, I wasn't expecting a big one necessarily. You know, I was expecting like there would be drivers making mistakes and you could have something happen there, or you'd have a spin out, you know, the air getting taken off the car, something like that, but it didn't happen. And I the people that I was with Hunt Brothers, I kind of looked at them at the end of the race. I'm like, that was a quick race. And it really didn't last all that long. I mean, it was just very efficient, very quick, and it was because you had the speeds up and you had no cautions. So that definitely made it go fast, or seems like it went by real fast. So continuing with Steve O'Donnell, Executive Vice President of NASCAR, you know, do they like it? Do the drivers like it? To Steve O'Donnell's point, it's not really all about them.
I think it's not really up to me, right? It's the fans. You want higher ratings and you want more butts in seats ultimately. And you want rivalries out there and drivers getting after it. And, you know, I think what happens in that situation is you have more passes for the lead and you have cars closer together. So I think we're on the march to do that. I think we saw some of that today, but we can continue to improve upon it.
I think they're definitely on the right path, as I said. And he brings up TV ratings in Nashville. The top five released by Mark Benda from News Channel 5, the SEC basketball, Kentucky-Tennessee was number one with 11.2. Miami versus Duke in basketball did a 5.5, and in third, the Las Vegas, the Pennzoil 400 did a 3.9. So this market is still tuning in. The ratings aren't what they have been in the past, but people were checking it out in this market. And I think that is the ultimate goal of NASCAR, of trying to get those ratings up, trying to get people going back to the track. I thought the crowd was pretty good. at Atlanta, it wasn't great. So I think that that's everything they're doing with this new leadership with Steve Phelps as the president and Steve O'Donnell in place. Mike Helton's still very much involved. Saw him walking around the track. They are trying to make this product better. The effort is the best that it ever has been with NASCAR. I applaud them for that. I think that that's what, you know, they're trying to do. They're trying to make this better. They want everybody to come back. And that's huge. The drivers want that. I mean, the drivers are doing everything they can. So they're on the right path. But it's going to take some time, as Steve O'Donnell says.
I think over time. I mean, we said from the beginning that, you know, this is going to be a season that we're going to analyze. We're not going to every race say, you know, was that a good race? Was that not? I know fans do that. But, you know, for us directionally, are you improving upon where we wanted to be? And if you look at last year versus this year, I would say we are. Was it, you know, tremendous improvement? Probably not. But again, as a fan, you want to see lead changes. We saw that today. And I think if you would have looked in the past, with no cautions, we would have seen someone check out all race long, and we wouldn't have seen a lead change.
It's going to take time. You got to be patient. They go to Phoenix this week. We'll see what's going to happen there. And you'll hear from Ryan Blaney here in a little bit about the first practice and what he saw with that. I think that Phoenix will be another step in the right direction, another test, so to speak, with this new rules package. And you know, we might see a little more door-to-door action. You might see, because that's how this track works. But, you know, guys that have been dominant in the past, I mean, this is Kevin Harvick's track. Will that continue with this new rules package? I don't see why it wouldn't. He's good. He's been good there in just about any scenario you've thrown him in. So that, I think, we answered some questions at Atlanta. We may have answered a few more at Vegas. We'll continue to answer some at Phoenix. It's going to take a full season. I don't know if everything is going to be figured out just in a handful of races. You're going to see changes throughout the year, but the fact that they're just kind of letting it happen over the course of the next few weeks until they figure things out, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing because NASCAR is being patient, and that's what you want. That's what the race fans want. That's what the drivers want. They're doing their due diligence with this new rules package because they want to get it right. They want the fans to be entertained. And so far, I like what I see. I can obviously see more. I know a lot of you feel that way. Tweet me what you think at Chase on Game. You know, do you think they're going in the right direction? I do. But they have a long way to go, and I think it'll continue to get better. One thing that NASCAR announced this week that I think is a very good thing, they're coming to Nashville. They are bringing the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Awards Banquet to the Music City Center December 5th. This is a huge step, and I will discuss it next here on Chasing Checkers. We are Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game online. GameNashville.com. You can tap that app and pull up everything on demand as well. iTunes, search for Chasing Checkers, rate, subscribe, and review. Drops every Friday afternoon and airs Saturday and Sunday mornings here on the Game Nashville. So NASCAR made a huge announcement this week. The rumors have been out there about the awards banquet. It is coming back. Or not coming back. It is coming to the Music City for the first time. It'll be at the Music City Center December 5th. To me, this is huge. This is a step in the right direction of bringing NASCAR in general, racing, back to Nashville. Now, to take you through the timeline, we know that the city is doing a lot at the fairgrounds. They're building the MLS Stadium for Nashville SC. The racetrack is there. They want to fix it up. They've entered into an agreement with Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, SMI, Bruton Smith, Marcus Smith. They run the Bristol Motor Speedway, Atlanta, Las Vegas, a lot of other tracks, Charlotte. And they want to try and fix up the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway and bring racing back, bring possibly the Cup Series. I think it has to be the Cup Series. But this is a step in the right direction of bringing the Cup Series banquet. Shannon Spake of Fox Sports was on with Darren and Donick this week and gave her thoughts on NASCAR bringing the banquet to Nashville.
I think it's a great decision. I love it. So I've been covering NASCAR since 2004, and we had the banquet in New York City for so many years. And the cool thing about it being in a city like New York, or I mean, I know obviously Nashville is a smaller scale, but you find that you kind of gravitate, like when you're there, you kind of take over the area that you're in. And you felt that with NASCAR. Like everyone would kind of move in a group. And you kind of did things together as a group in terms of NASCAR, like the drivers and the PR people and the media, and folks in the town would really embrace it. With Vegas, it's so big, right? It's so spread out. There's so many different hotels to stay at, and I felt like that was lost a little bit. And I love the idea to bring it to Nashville. And I mean, gosh, can you deny the connection between country music and what you guys have to offer in terms of the city and the town and what we do on a weekly basis? We have so many country music stars who are fans of NASCAR and vice versa, you know, with guys that are buddies with some of the biggest stars in country music. And I think it's a perfect fit. As far as how long we've been hearing it, I think there's always kind of that moving ball in NASCAR. Like you always hear that things might be changing, whether it be the all-star race moving to a different location or the end of the year banquet. And you don't really know what's going to stick. So we've been hearing movement that it could move somewhere. We didn't really know where. I think Nashville was kind of always on the radar. Charlotte was always on the radar. I'm super excited that it's going to Nashville. I think it's obviously a shorter trip for a lot of people who travel 36 weeks out of the season. And I think it's going to get a great response in terms of how many people show up in your town.
Shannon Spake from Fox Sports on with Darren and Donick about the banquet coming to Nashville. And look, it's the first step. And Jeff Burton was on this show last season, and I asked him about Nashville. And he gave his thoughts on bringing the All-Star race and moving the All-Star race around to tracks that don't have races. And, you know, the banquet, I think, is one of those things. It's been in New York City. Then it was in Vegas. New York does not have a race. Vegas does. Now, I mean, New York City, I mean. Nashville, of course, doesn't have a NASCAR race. It has the track. So I think this is dipping the toe in the water. The drivers love it. They want to come here. You'll hear from Kevin Harvick here in just a second. But this was Jeff Burton last season when I asked him about coming to Nashville.
Nashville sounds like a great place. The infrastructure is in place. You have a great city with great hotels, although expensive as hell. You got to find a way to get cost down. But
we're building.
It's a great city. It's a great city that's capable of holding the event. So yes, we need to be there. And I don't care if it's the All Star race or if it's a point paying race. I don't care. But we need to go. And there's no reason that we shouldn't. And I don't want to hear, well, it can't hold 60,000 people. Good. We don't need 60,000 people. Let's have a race where there's 20,000 people. Let's make it special.
I agree with him on that. Maybe, you know, the number for me is probably 40, 50, somewhere in there. But you don't have to seat 100,000. I mean, Daytona pulled seats out. They're like at 107,000, something like that now. That's a good thing. Make it hard to get a ticket. Make it where it sells out. Make it where when it's on TV, you see grandstands full. They need that. NASCAR needs that. They need that kind of exposure. So you fix this track up, and the drivers are going to love it. They'll come here. Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Cup Series. You do a full race weekend. I think it's a night race. What I would do if I'm running things is I do like on Friday night, you start racing probably 5 o'clock, do the Truck Series, and then the Xfinity Series. You do it all in one night. And then Saturday night, the feature, the main event, the Cup Series, boom, 2-day event, Saturday night in the summer. It's hot. It's sticky. Tempers will be high. It's short track racing. That place would sell out. I guarantee it. Kevin Harvick, I asked him last week when he was on the show about racing in Nashville.
Well, Nashville is a NASCAR town. And, you know, I think as you look at all the talk of coming back to Nashville, I think that there's not a person in the sport that wouldn't tell you that we don't need to be in Nashville racing. We need to be in Nashville. I think everybody in our sport agrees upon that. And, you know, I think as you look at the history that the Fairgrounds Speedway has, you know, compared to many of the racetracks that we race on today, it's a shame that it ever left because, you know, I think obviously the sport went through, you know, huge growth and we built a lot of big racetracks. But, you know, the Fairgrounds type racetrack is especially in the Xfinity Series and Truck Series, those are the types of racetracks that those series need to be racing on. So it's a great facility, and you know, for us, Nashville is the heart of what we need to be doing from a racetrack. But it's also, you know, where a lot of our fans are grassroots fans are there, and we need to be in Nashville as much as we can, and we would be excited to be back there.
And now the Cup Series banquet will be coming to Nashville. But he's right. He used that word, grassroots. NASCAR needs to get back to its roots. I think that was the biggest problem in the turnoff in the 2000s is they tried to move out of the Southeast. They were going west. And that's fine. Like I said, good crowd at Vegas. But I think they were putting too much of an emphasis on it. The schedule has gotten too long. 36 weeks, way too long. And in 2021, when the contracts are up and there's all these rumors swirling that the schedule is going to look a lot different, Nashville needs to be on it for all three series. And you know what? And some people aren't going to like this. You got to reduce the number of races. Again, if I'm running things, if it's me, I am starting in February and I am ending Labor Day weekend. And with the championship race, it's not always at Homestead. I'm rotating it. The Super Bowl rotates every year. You rotate the championship race. Within reason, you know. But if you ended, if you maybe played with the idea of one year, hey, we're going to run the Daytona 500 as the last race, drivers wouldn't like it. Fans would. Now, you know, February to me, I like starting the year at Daytona, but you know, ending at Talladega. Drivers wouldn't like it. Fans would. But Nashville needs to be a part of it. And I'm with Jeff Burton. If you try it with the All-Star race, great. They're trying it with the banquet first. Gives them time, you know, before 2021 to fix that track up. And if you have to start with Xfinity and trucks, okay. I don't think that's the right play. I think if you're bringing NASCAR back, you got to bring the Cup Series, and you have to start it with the Cup Series. You can't play this game like they tried to do out at the new speed at Gladeville and hope, you know, hey, we'll sell out some Xfinity races and some truck races, and then the Cup Series will come. That didn't work. That failed miserably. Can't do that. The future, though, what does the future look like? Shannon Spake, again, on with Darren and Donick earlier this week. You can hear that full interview at thegamenashville.com. She spoke about the future.
Nashville is a centralized place. So whether you've got your fans from Illinois and Indiana who love the grassroots racing and the dirt racing up there or Indy racing in that area, Ohio, I mean, we know where our fan base comes from, and to have something so centralized, I think, is a huge, huge plus. I think it would be a great idea. And I know NASCAR is contemplating so many different things for the upcoming seasons. We hear rumors every single year, right? I've heard since 2004 that the schedule is going to shrink or it's going to expand or the races are going to be shorter. We hear things every single year. And I think that is really a testament to NASCAR wanting to do the right things for our fan base, whether it be shortening some of the races. We've seen that happen in past years, going from 500 miles to 400 miles, adding stages for a little bit more excitement and going to places that we think that the fans want us to go. And they listen, and that's one of the coolest things, I think, about this sport is while it seems like it kind of moves slowly in terms of progressing, right? And, you know, we talk about the old school fans. I think that we are always, always listening and wanting to do what our fans want us to do. And this is moving the banquet to Nashville is a huge step in the right direction.
Shannon Spake on with Darren and Donick from Fox Sports. The future, if all of this pans out, looks very bright to me for NASCAR. The fact that they're willing to make some changes, go to different places. I read an article that the North Carolina governor, Ray Cooper, has approved a bill that would give some funding to Rockingham. Go back to the Rock. That would be awesome to go back to the Rock. Go back to some of these grassroots places. You can have new tracks. I want Iowa in the Cup schedule. I like Iowa. But you gotta go back to where you've had some success and bring those fan bases back in. One more NASCAR personality on Nashville, Larry McReynolds, was on a few weeks ago, and I asked him about the Music City.
I think it belongs there. Now, am I willing to bang the gavel and say we need to bring the Cup Series there for a points race? You know, let's crawl before we walk and walk before we run. I think it would be amazing to bring either the Truck Series and or the Xfinity Series back there. I think the trucks would put a great show on there. Let's see how things go with that. And then maybe look at a special event for the Cup Series. Maybe it's time to move the All-Star Race. You know, I know the All-Star Race, ever since its very first time to run it back in 1985, it's always been at Charlotte Motor Speedway, except for 86. We did go to Atlanta Motor Speedway with it. I know Charlotte is kind of the home of the All-Star Race, but I think to maybe bring the All-Star Race to Nashville, maybe a midweek primetime race, I think that would be well receptive. But I would love to see the trucks and or the Xfinity Series come there. Let's get our feet wet. Let's bring NASCAR back to Nashville and see where it goes from there.
I agree with Larry. Crawl before you walk, walk before you run. But to go back to what I said previously, it's got to be the Cup Series. You know, the Truck Series, sure, if you are a diehard gearhead NASCAR fan like I am, you enjoy watching the Truck Series. But for the novice fan that NASCAR's trying to bring in, you know, the young fan, I'm sorry, it's the Cup Series. You need the names that they all know. Kyle Busch has entered to run the All-American 400. That's a huge step. Bringing the banquet here, that is a huge step. They're making the right moves. They just got to keep it going. Racing at Phoenix this weekend, I'll break it down for you. Coming up next on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. We're back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Online at thegamenashville.com, on iTunes as well. Check it out. Chase McCabe here with you. Here every Friday afternoon, you can check it out at thegamenashville.com and iTunes. Just search Chasing Checkers. We've hit a lot today. Didn't even have a guest. Didn't really need it. There was a lot to get into because Nashville getting the banquet for the Cup Series. You had racing at Las Vegas. And now this weekend, race four of the season, race three with the new rules package at Phoenix. And this one is one that I'm excited about because I want to, A, I'm going to be able to watch it on TV instead of actually going to the track, but that's been a lot of fun. But I want to see what steps they've taken steps every week, and you go to different racetracks, and I want to see how this package will adapt to certain tracks. I think that Phoenix is one of those that it's been dominated by Kevin Harvick, of course, over the last few years. I mean, he's been very good at the first three or three out of the four, and Daytona is such a crapshoot. But I think that you're going to see a lot of what you saw at Vegas, but there could be more side-by-side and maybe more door-to-door just because of the way the track is laid out. So that's something that we're going to see, but I know in watching some of the practices, you know, there has been speed. There has been speed. Ryan Blaney gave his thoughts on the first practice in which he led.
Yeah, I felt, you know, pretty good. We're all right the first run, and we just kept getting better. So, you know, this first day with, you know, this kind of the first new package for a track like this. So with having the power back and still having the downforce, takes a little bit to get used to. Driving it and, you know, everyone's setting up the race car, it takes a little bit, but it's always, I look forward to stuff like that. It's exciting, it's something different, and but yeah, it's nice to have speed already. Hopefully that carries on for tonight and then, you know, to Sunday, which is most important.
You heard him say it there, having the power, the a little bit of the power back. Track like that, I mean, you need some speed, and he showed it. I mean, he was showing it in that practice session, and I think that's going to create some pretty good racing on Sunday with these cars. You're not going to have the pack racing. You heard Steve O'Donnell say that. Like, that, you know, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to have side-by-side racing and passing. You know, they're trying to create more opportunities to pass. And you have a little bit of speed plus the downforce. I think you're going to get that. So that's what's going to be what I'm going to be watching for on Sunday from Phoenix is, you know, how much passing will there be? Is Kevin Harvick going to take the lead and dominate or someone else? You know, I hope there are multiple lead changes like we have seen at Atlanta, at Las Vegas. You know, when I went down and looked through the finishing order for Las Vegas, I mean, there were several drivers that were leading chunks of laps. It wasn't just one guy. I think that that's really good for NASCAR. I think that's what the fans want. Blaney asked again about his car and gave a little more in-depth detail.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it, for sure, especially like getting up to speed, going through the gears, you can really feel it. So that part's nice. I like having it back. You know, it just takes a while to get used to, you know, the lower, the cutback horsepower stuff. But it was nice having it back and kind of nice to feel the changes. But, you know, with all the downforce and the power back on these cars, you're hustling them a lot. I don't know what the times were last year here, but I feel like we're going a lot faster. You can really get into the corner, really stand on the gas. But I think in the race, it's going to be pretty good when it gets hot and slick. You'll see a lot of cars moving around. So, like I said, the first couple of days is always pretty cool with the new package. But you can feel it for sure.
And I think that's what NASCAR has to figure out. You know, it's the horsepower. How much horsepower do they want to take away? How much horsepower do they need? You know, how do you combine that with the downforce, with the aero? And eventually they will find a formula that works. Now, getting this whole universal type formula, I don't think is ever going to happen. Each track is different. That's why you go to different tracks. And that's what makes it unique. That's why you have short tracks and intermediates and super speedways and road courses and things like that. It's finding out how this package is going to respond to the different types of racing surfaces and banking and just how the tracks are laid out. That's why you put it in place for every race so you can just see how it works out. And there's tinkering that they can do. And like I said earlier, it's going to take probably the whole season to truly figure it out. They'll make changes along the way, and that's what you want. You want to adapt. But Phoenix this weekend, I still look at Kevin Harvick as a guy. I know that he hasn't won yet, but he's been running well. Finished fourth last week, or the last 2 weeks he's finished fourth. So we'll see if he can go to his track that he usually dominates at and get a win. But, hey, these Fords with Roger Penske, is it Blaney's turn with Blaney leading the first practice? Is Penske going to make it three in a row with Keselowski, Logano, and Blaney? We will see. Going to be interesting to see how those Penske cars run and when will Toyota get back in the fray. I mean, they won the Daytona 500, but is Kyle Busch there? He's knocking on the door. And I think had he not had some issues at Atlanta and Las Vegas, he probably would have a win already. Plus, he finished second in Daytona, and then Denny Hamlin, of course, won it for Joe Gibbs. And then the Chevys. You know, Chase Elliott has been okay, hadn't been great. Kyle Larson has been good at times. Kurt Busch, I think, has been one of the best Chevy drivers. So, all these questions, will they be answered this weekend at Phoenix? We will find out. And, of course, we will talk about it next week here on Chasing Checkers. We are scheduled to be joined by Matt DiBenedetto and Martin Truex Jr. next week. So, looking forward to talking to those guys. Of course, Matty D was the first guest on Chasing Checkers when I launched the show last season. So looking forward to talking to those guys. Again, if you miss any episodes, you can go back, listen to the interviews that I had with some of the drivers. Just go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Pod Center tab, and find Chasing Checkers, or you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Chasing Checkers. I'm Chase McCabe. We will talk to you next week. Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.